intellectual achievement. It must have been around 1940, 41, somewhere around there.
Is that when you went to C.B. Shane?
Right. That's when I joined the local.
Mm-hmm. What exactly was the relationship between C.B. Shane and the local? I mean, because Clara was business agent for there or something, it wound up that most of the women
right.
in mm-hmm. the local worked there?
Yeah. Well, a lot of them had been there previous. I mean, they started with Mr. Shane. A lot of them, but she brought in a lot of girls because it was a place where they made very, very nice. They used to make this very famous and popular coat they called the Season Skipper, where it had a lining that used to button in and out. Later, then they replaced it with a zipper. But Mr. Shane was the one that originated that idea. He had he made a beautiful coat. Fields and Stevens Parsons used to sell it. At that time, it was sold for $80. Now that's a long time ago. And that was considered a pretty good high-priced coat, but it was made beautifully. And he had the best linings and the best materials. He had a real, at that time now, gabardine was a very popular material. And he had bought the best grade that there was. His coats were beautiful. So she was bringing all the girls in as they came along. You know, when they needed help, she brought them all in. And of course, it was around the time of the war too, and they were making all officers' coats. He made a lot of the officers' coats, which were real high quality, you know. It was very good.
Can you think of when you began to come to this building, or when you joined the local, whatever? Can you think of an average week and, you know, what particular things the local was involved in or you were involved in at the meeting, each of those days, just to get an idea of the kinds of things that were going on?
Yeah, I can tell you very easily. I was here every single day, and sometimes on Saturdays and Sundays. We had choir. We had a beautiful choir. We had about 85 voices in the choir, men and women. First we started with women, and then we gradually got men. And we used to put on a concert. Well, our organization used to celebrate May the 1st as our union holiday. Then, of course, when Russia started celebrating on May 1st, we just continued doing that, you know. But we used to sing it back. We used to do that. We used to have concerts, you know, here in the building. We used to, across the street here, there used to be the CTA building. You probably heard Carmen's Hall,
mm-hmm.
And they had a big auditorium there. And we used to have our concerts there because we couldn't handle all the crowd here. We had an auditorium here too, but just to see 1,600 people. But over there, they could see much more than that. So this every May Day when we had the concert, they'd get a Philharmonic orchestra to play, and they get all the high class music and classical, you know. Then when our choir was formed, we started singing besides having the orchestra. So on Mondays we had rehearsal for choir. Mondays and Wednesdays was also, we had a gymnasium here then. So it was Ladies' Day on Mondays and Wednesdays. So we used to come to the gym. I was very active, and most of us were active in the gym. And then we used to, Clara, one of us girls, just go to the store and buy some lunch meat or something, and we'd have a sandwich. And then we'd stay for the evening for our choir, because our choir practice started at 8 o'clock. On Tuesday, most of the time, we had meetings. We'd either have an executive board meeting, or we'd have our monthly, regular meetings. I don't remember now, because between the two locals, we used to have our local meeting at 144. I think we had it on the fourth Tuesday of the month. And in 275, I think we had it on the third. Because I used to go to both of them from the beginning, you know.
Wait, right after you switched?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, my husband was in 144. I met my husband through the organization. You know, that's how we got married. We got married at a convention. So And Tuesday, most of the time I was here because, like I say, we had a board meeting. Otherwise, we had, we used to get together just for us girls to be together, you know. But most of the time we had little things to do for the local. Because we were always the group when there was any activity going on in the building, any parties or anything, we girls were always asked to help out. At that time, we didn't have everything catered. We used to do it ourselves. We had our kitchen was, we had a beautiful kitchen downstairs. We had all the equipment to run a regular banquet. So, and then on Wednesday, we used to come to gym again. Then we had bowling. I don't remember the nights that we bowled, to be honest with you. I don't remember. But I know I was here every day. I was here every day, and sometimes Saturdays and Sundays, because we used to have banquets here. And when the different locals used to have banquets or parties, they would always ask the girls from 275 to help. So we were in for the evening for the week to help them out, and we used to join the party or the banquet, whatever it was. We were always invited to all the different local affairs, all the time. So, and then on Saturdays, that's right too, we had dancing. Not for us grown-ups, but all those that had children would bring their children, and they'd have, they were taking ballet and different dances. Well, I used to bring my little niece down here on Saturday. So we had something going all the time. I think on Fridays we were bowling, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was on Fridays that we bowled. And then we, once in a while, we'd have a trip going to different places, like we do with the retiree center. You know, we'd go to the field house, or we'd go, like when they opened the new post office, we went on a tour of the post office. Another time we went on a tour of the county hospital, to different wards, you know. We always did something. We had something going all the time.
You know, when you were mentioning that the women from 275 were always involved in these things, how big of a group was that from the entire local? How big of a group was it that was really active?
Well, I would say that all our board, about 30, 35 girls that were always. And then we had girls that belonged to other locals, like Agnes. She was very active with us all the time. And she was a chair lady at her place, she used to bring in, 14, 15 girls from her shop at different affairs that we had. We used to run all the locals used to run a dance practically once a year in order to build up a fund so they could send delegates to our convention every other year, because we had a convention every 2 years. Well, our membership wasn't that big, so we couldn't run a dance. We didn't have enough members to be able to run a dance because you couldn't make enough profit on it. So every year we used to run a dinner. And the manager here, first it was Mr. Levine, and then it was Mr. Smith, and then it was Mr. Finley. We had another manager in between too, but he was only here for a short time. We used to run a dinner, and we girls used to cook ourselves, and we girls used to serve it. And we used to charge, like from the beginning, I think we started with, I don't know if it was $1.50, something like that. Then we started charging $2, and then of course we kept going up. We had to charge $2.50. But we served them from soup to nuts. We had fruit cocktail, we had salad, we had roast beef, a vegetable, potatoes, and the salad, of course, and dessert. All that and coffee. And we used to cook that ourselves. A couple of us girls, two of us girls would take off for one day to do the cooking. But all the girls, for 4 or 5 days ahead of time, would come down here to give us a hand to prepare it all. And then two of us would be down from early in the morning, the day of the dinner, and we'd cook the whole thing. And then all the girls would gradually come in as they kept getting out, because, you know, they were almost all piece workers and some didn't put in full time. So they'd come in and help us. But we'd have all the tables, all that stuff set up ahead of time. So there'd be a big group that'd be working all the time, setting up these tables. And we used to make our money that way in order to send our delegates to the convention. Well, we used to run this every year between March and April. We used to run this dinner, and of course, all the locals in the building participated. In fact, we used to have between 225 and 250 people at the dinner. And we could have sold more tickets, but we couldn't accommodate more than that because it would be too much for us. So that's how we made our money in our local. And the manager was very nice. He cooperated with us very nicely. And he made it possible for us to have the dinner on a night when we had a joint board meeting so that we'd get all the people from all the different locals, because at the joint board all the locals participated, see. And this way we'd get a nice big crowd. So it worked out real nice.
Angus was mentioning once that sometimes there weren't a lot of people at the meetings for the local, because sometimes the husbands wouldn't let their wives come. How did you deal with that?
Well, we didn't have too much of that. We didn't have too much of that in our local. I know that there were a lot of, it was mostly the foreign people that were that way with their wives. You know what I mean? The men that were a little bit behind time. But most of them, some of them couldn't make it because they had children and they worked all day and they had to be home, you know. But we didn't have too much of a problem with that. But of course, in the bigger locals, they would have come up with something like that, because the bigger locals...
Well, she was mentioning about 275, that she said she used to go to some of the local meetings,
but that was a... Well, we were a small local. That's why it was more conspicuous.
In terms of numbers, could you
get
the size of it?
Well, I think when I got in there, I think we must have close to 400 members. And then it gradually went down, because, you see, the organization decided. At one time I have to break off from one thing and go into another. At one time, all our locals were different nationalities. Uh-huh. But then they started to eliminate all the small locals and put them together. For instance, like Local 6, Local 38, Local 270, Local 275, and 39 were all Coast locals. So the smaller locals, they started to merge with the bigger locals. They started to go either with 270 or 39.
In a couple of those articles I was reading, there was a couple of women that were talking about some early strikes they were in and how it was really noticeable to them that it was the women that were really putting, you know, a lot of the energy in and doing a lot of the picketing and things like that. Do you remember any specific strikes that you were in where that was an issue? I mean, you were talking, I think, once about the leather workers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was right over here on Roosevelt Road and Morgan. Yeah, we organized that place. We had a very hard time. It was during the winter months. And they were very, very hard people to.
What
organize.
Exactly were you and the other women in the local?
Doing?
Uh-huh.
Well, we used to go down there. You had to be down there before 7 o'clock in the morning. And we used to walk up and down in front of the place, and as people were coming in to go to work, we used to go up to them and approach them and try to talk to them and try to convince them why they should join the union. Some of them would listen, some of them wouldn't. Then we followed a few of them all the way home. We got lost a couple of times. There were two girls that we followed, and we didn't know how to get back home. We didn't have a car in those days, you know. None of the girls did. Well, what's her name? Agnes always had a car. But I remember one night when we got lost, we had to figure out a way to get back home again. We went to talk to this one particular girl, because the first thing we always found out when we were trying to organize a place was who the leaders were in the place. If you get the top people, the ones that are looked up to, you'll get the rest of the people then, because there's always people in a place of work that somebody more or less looks up to. You know what I mean? There are leaders. And we had this one Italian girl and this one Polish girl. we found out that in the sewing room, they were the ones that were the leaders. So those were the ones, they were the hardest nuts to crack, but we finally got them. And once we got them, they turned out to be the best union people. It was, I mean, they went all out just like they were all out from the beginning against us. But, well, we were on that strike. Agnes got pulled in, and Clara Leon got pulled in, and Marie, but I got out of it. They didn't get me. I ran away. I mean, some of them were able, some of us were able to get away, and some not. You know, in the paddy wagon.
Oh, they grabbed them and took them to jail.
The police, Mm-hmm. Well, just for picketing. I mean, there was nothing. But we used to get lectures from my manager before we'd go out, and we were told never to handle anything, no weapons of any kind. But they weren't doing the right thing by us, though. This one girl, one day she had a pair of shears in her hand, and if it wouldn't have been for one of the other girls, I would have got it, because she was rather mean. And I went up to talk to her, and I didn't see what she had in her hand. But one of the girls in back of me, she was much bigger and taller than I was. She saw what she had in her hand. And when I went up and talked to this girl went like this, and the girl in back of me, she pulled me back like that, and that's how I, but she had a scissor in her hand, and we never went out with any kind of a weapon, never. We did tear one of the girl's dresses off once, you know, trying to get a hold of her to talk to her. And it was just an accident, but we never used any. That's the first thing that the manager used to tell us. He never wanted us to have any kind of a, he said, not even a file, nothing. Because we want to do it peacefully. We don't want any kind of trouble at all.
What was your reaction to her? Were you mad at, were you angry, or were you scared of her then?
Well, I was kind of scared. I never went home and told my mother what was going on, because she never knew. She'd give me a hard time to get out that early in the morning. We used to get out sometimes. Well, we went to, a few times I went out to North Chicago. Mm-hmm. And at that time we had to get up at, we had to be picked up at 5:30 in the morning. We had to be out there pretty early then. But that's the only time I ever had any experience where anybody used, actually had something in their hands. Other times we had verbal arguments, you know, where they tell us something and we tell them something back. But, of course, we always try to control ourselves because we were the ones that were going to organize. So they'd call us all kinds of names, and we couldn't answer them the way they talked to us, because we'd never get to first. We'd never make the grade if we did that, you know. Two wrongs don't make a right. So,
When you were mentioning that you followed, you know, you followed those two women home that you saw who were the leaders in the shop, was that obvious? Did you just walk along behind them?
No, we took a bus with them. We took a bus with them.
Did they realize you were following them?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's so long ago now that I just don't remember.
I'm just curious
if
you were real obvious about it. Or
I do remember that we got so far out that we didn't, you know, we didn't have no idea how we were supposed to go back home then. You know what I mean? We went back from work. That's what we did. We never went home after work. We used to go right to the picket line. We used to go in the morning, and then we used to go there in the evening. And we always got there before they got out of work, because otherwise it wouldn't have made no sense, you know, us going there if they would be gone already. So we used to go out a little earlier. But
you also working at helped building up the necktie
workers, didn't you? Yes, but I didn't do too much in that one. I didn't do too much in that.
Did Clara selling ties to make money have any connection with that at all? Was she then their business agent?
Oh, yeah. We used to help her.
After you organized, she became their business agent.
Oh, she was a business agent for many years, but way before I got into the local.
So she was it for Shane then for the necktie workers?
Yes. So, well, the necktie came in much later. Much later. Oh, yes, that was another thing. She, in order for them to survive, because the local was so small for the necktie, she used to carry all those boxes of poor souls back and forth from the fast tie factory to the office here. And then we girls used to come down here, and we used to take boxes with us to work and we used to sell them in our shop. You know what I mean? We used to sell them for them. And that's how they made money to send their delegates to the convention. The women always had to do everything the hard way. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of the things I was reading there, so that, you know, if women in the United States want to get on equal footing, if they don't think they are, they're going to have to do it all themselves. I was reading somewhere, Sherman was talking to me about an interview that she did with Sarah. The woman in California was talking to Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that she was, that I guess that Sarah was saying that, was when they originally organized the local, they were really dedicated to education.
Yes.
That was the foundation. What kinds of programs were going on when
you were there? We had all kinds of lectures. We had professors from University of Chicago, Roosevelt University. We had lectures all the time during the winter months. We had that's another thing that used to take up our Tuesdays. I forgot about that. Just had different subjects.
Think that other locals would have been instrumental in getting educational programs like that? Do you think that you would have had those kinds of things if 275 hadn't?
Well, I don't know, I don't remember them having anything like that. I really don't.
The other locals? Mm-hmm. Did 275 sponsor all these lectures?
Yes, but we used to ask all the women from all the different locals to come in, and of course their locals never stop them from coming if they wanted to. So we had the girls participating from different locals. Well, I have to say one thing, I probably mentioned that before. You see, Clara Leon was a kind of an individual that she was an idealist. I mean, she gave up all her life practically for the union. She was so embedded in it that she had a lot of charisma. She was the type that could talk anybody into coming in. You know what I mean? Girls couldn't help liking her, and they used to come in. She used to draw them in. She had a lot going for herself. She was that type. You couldn't help loving her. She was just like a mother to all the girls. I mean, if you come once, you come back again. She was that type, you know.
As I understand it, one of the reasons that Sarah left the post in the big, you know, she only had it for like a year, was because she thought it would be important for other women to get in a leadership position, like being a business agent. How do you feel about that in terms of Clara having a position for 50 years?
I'm sorry, I disagree with her on that. Absolutely. See, I happen to know Sarah, and I happen to know Clara. Or this is off the record, I mean, don't put this thing in.
Okay.
She went out there. And she got along nicely with everyone. And of course, I could imagine her resenting the fact that she was only in for the short time and the other one held it for so long. But like I told you, it took a lot of patience. You gotta have a lot of patience to put up with a lot of people. Because when you're putting up with the public, you've got to put up with an awful lot. And if you're not prepared for that, you may as well forget about it. Because you're never going to make good. You can't tell people off and expect them to cooperate with you. It just doesn't work that way.
A couple of times when we've talked to us, you've been mentioning about kind of the fact that when the women's locals started, women were starting to wake up, because this was like a general kind of trend. What do you think that there were other things that were part of that, like, you know, getting to vote or the women's trade union thing? But what are the kinds of programs and things that are going on, do you think, that were part of that waking up process?
Well, the fact that the women were given some attention. No matter what they did, whatever stand they took, and whatever, how would you say, whatever walk of life it was. You know, the women were always in the background for everything, regardless of what it was. And I think that it was a wonderful thing when this thing started, because the women were given more recognition, and they were beginning to learn how to stand on their own 2 feet. That gave them more backbone.
Why
and everything. I think even in their personal life, as far as their mates were concerned, if they had a right to go out to work, they had a right to attend meetings and to be able to take part in all different kinds of activities. If they were just home and they were just housewives, well, then naturally they weren't going out to earn their bread and butter, and they couldn't participate for one thing because sometimes they didn't have the money. They didn't, you know what I mean? They didn't have the clothes to be able to get out and mingle with other people. But as long as they were helping out, they had to have, that gave them the opportunity to dress and to mingle and to be active with other people. And it made life a little bit more interesting for them. Because what kind of a life is it for a woman to be married and to rush home from work and go home and make supper and work again? I mean, it opened up a lot of avenues for the women. They could go out and socialize with other people. They could go out to meetings and get a little education and broaden their viewpoints on a lot of things. I mean, I think, you know, that in the history of our country, the women never went as far as they've gone today, never. And I think this is all part of it.
Do you think that there were, what kinds of things do you think might have specifically led to it at that time? Do you think, like, just recently of getting the vote, that made a big difference?
Well, that helped along, but I think the fact that a lot of women wanted to educate their children, and in order to educate their children, most of them had to go out to help their husbands to work. They wanted to give their children something that they didn't have the opportunity to have. For instance, like us. Like, my father died when I was 10 years old, and naturally my mother had 5 children. And before my father died, he was sick at home for 2 years, in and out of the hospital. And we were very fortunate that we had a grandfather and a grandmother that were able to help us, and a couple of my mother's sisters, aunts. So between them and my mother working for a couple of companies at one time, because at that time they used to take work home, I think I killed her. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get the education that the kids get today. The kids today can go to school like you are. See, of course, I don't know your background, I don't know about your parents, but children today get the opportunity to go to school and go to school as long as they want, if they really want it. For instance, like now, if your parents couldn't afford to send you to college, you could work all summer or work for a full year, save your money, and go to college the following year, right? Because I know a lot of them are doing that even in our family, where they've gone to college for a year or two, and then they've stopped and gone to work for a year and saved because their parents couldn't give them the full amount of money. And they, you know, that helped us. So naturally, most of the parents figured if they didn't get an education, they wanted to give it to their children. So the husband was doing all he could to bring as much as he could in, but in order to make it easier for the whole family, the mother went out to work as soon as she was able to leave the children so that they could take care of themselves. And I think that was one of the things that prompted. And of course, when you go out in the world to work, you learn, it broadens your viewpoint on a lot of things. If you're a woman that just got married and you stay home and just raise a family, you don't get the opportunities unless you happen to have money in the family, where you get into all kinds of social affairs, and you meet other people, and then you broaden your viewpoint that way. But if you're just an ordinary housewife, you don't get the opportunity to do those things, because most of the time you just have enough money to keep body and soul together. I don't know if I make myself clear.
In your particular case, do you think that the beginning to work really broad?